invite you to read a passage of Scripture with me on the screen today. Can we do that? And I know that you just sat down, but I want that blood to pump, right? And if you can, you want to, I want to invite you to stand with me, and let's read Luke 24, verse 32 out loud together. I think that would be on the next slide there, Miss Deb. There it is. There it is. All right. So if you can read that, then let's read it. Let's read that together. Let's do. Here it is. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts on fire when he spoke to us along the road and when he explained the scriptures for us?" Father, may you bless the reading of your word by your people today, and may your spirit teach us what you need us to know today, that you may grow us in righteousness for your glory and for our good and for the good of the kingdom. Amen. You may be seated. When I was a kid, I used to go camping with my family. We'd go in the summers. I used to live in Alabama, and I'd come up here in the summer for about 5 weeks. And so my family, my aunts and uncles and cousins, we get together and we go camping, and we go to Lincoln, we go to Spring Mill, we go to McCormick's Creek. Some of those sound familiar. So we would go there, and when we were younger, of course, you know, if you've ever gone camping with kids, you know, they love to hike in the water and in the streams, and they love to get wet, and they love to get dirty, and that's all fun. It's great. And so one of those trips, that's exactly what I did. Of course, you don't have any washers and dryers when you're camping, so you got to make do, right? And so I had one of my favorite shirts I was wearing that particular day that I got all wet, and we were sitting around the campfire at night, and we usually did s'mores, you know, and maybe some hot dogs and so on. And so I'm sitting there, and we needed to get that shirt dry, because if you've ever had a kid or a grandkid that has a favorite item and it's not exactly the way they need that, what do you typically try to do? How can we fix this so that we have peace in the family? So they said, we know how to solve this problem. It's wet. We have a fire. Fire gives heat. So let's run a string from one tree to the other across the fire, and then we're going to hang Andy's shirt up there so that it can dry. And you can imagine where this might be going. And so I'm sitting by the fire, and I'm having a good time, right? I'm kicked back, relaxing, and then guess what happens? Clip, clip, out of nowhere. Poof. Gone. Tears. I'm heartbroken. That's one of my favorite shirts. So, you know, oh my gosh. And my family has talked about that for years, right? It's still, I'm in my 40s. And it's occasionally, well, don't laugh at that. It will occasionally get brought up more by my uncles. I don't know why. Like, I don't bring it up, but they love to bring that up. Anyhow, I learned that you can sit around a fire, and that fire can light the darkness. I learned that it can give you heat on a cool night. I learned that it has a power to destroy your favorite shirt. And it also has the power to refine out impurities. In the Bible, God is likened to a fire. One who burns within us for our good. One who lights our path. One who warms us from within. John Wesley said that one day he was walking along and he felt this sudden warming within him. And he knew in that moment that he knew he was saved. He knew that there was an assurance within him that Jesus Christ was his Savior, and that he did not have to in any way worry about his salvation. He called this just this heartwarming of the heart that he experienced. That presence of God, the Spirit of God within him. God can also break down strongholds in our lives. He can destroy the power of sin and death. And he can refine out the impurities from within us. There's a story where we see God as a presence of fire, of one burning, but in a little different light than what we would often read in the Old Testament. And this story is out of the Gospel of Luke. And you already read part of the story. But I want us to jump into that story. And I thought with the Emmaus coming next week or the next 2 weekends, this was a great weekend to go to that story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And no doubt, many of you have been on walks to Emmaus before, so you know this story. You already know what's going to happen. Even if you haven't, you may have heard this story. But we're going to tell it again, and we're going to look at a lot of it in Scripture. So if you have a Bible with you today, either the book or if you've got your phone or a tablet, you want to get that out, I would invite you to go to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start that story at verse 14. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to start it at verse 14. Of course, I'm going to read it, but I'd love for you to read along if you'd like to. I'm not going to have it on the screen this morning because we're going to read the whole story. We're going to break it down in parts. But as you turn that story, just kind of let you know, in case you haven't heard the story, we're going to pick it up, which is the point of the story where Jesus has risen from the dead. And I know it feels like it should be Easter or something if we're talking about this, right? But I talk about it all the time. So Jesus has risen from the dead, and it's about midday, okay, for them. And we've got a few that have heard and seen, but not everybody. And so there's this kind of uncertainty about how true is the resurrection, right? We think so, but we don't know. And now we have these two gentlemen who are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And that's about a 7-mile walk. So, you know, there's no Uber or anything. There's no taxi, right? So you might have to explain what taxi is to some of the younger ones. But anyways, so you got to hoof it, right? So as the old saying, you got to walk. And so they're going to take about a 7-mile journey. And as they get on this journey, lo and behold, Jesus. And so let's jump in. Luke 24, starting at verse 14. So we're going to pick up those two guys on the road. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, the crucifixion, the resurrection, over the last 3 days. And as they talked and they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what y'all talking about? That's not the way it says. What are you discussing together as you walk along? Well, they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, says, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth? They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers, they handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, you know, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. So they came, and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Stop right there for a second. These two guys are taking a journey, and you listen to them, and you can hear the emotional heartbreak in their telling of the events, right? I mean, because you got to remember, listen, they're holding on to hope because the Messiah, Jesus, who was saying he was the Messiah, they're believing and hoping that he would be the Messiah, right? He would do everything that God had promised through the prophet, throughout the ages. But they had not been able to personally, physically interact with Jesus in order to know for certain, without a doubt, that he was the Messiah. And they struggled to believe what they could not see them, it sounds like, it felt like the fire of hope was being put out, and man, they wanted it to burn so bright. And so can you imagine the disappointment, the discouragement, probably frustration, their grieving? Because, I mean, Jesus was their friend. In addition to being a great teacher and the Messiah. And that's their view in that moment. But who else shows up as they start that journey? Who was it that showed up? Jesus shows up. Jesus knew. He already knew what he had done. He knew what he had accomplished. He knew what he had overcome. He knew what lay ahead. He knew exactly what they were thinking and wrestling with, and he knew their heartbreak. Like God doesn't know our heartbreaks when we hurt and are sad. Yes, he does. He knows the story right there in front of them. He knew that he provided the means for sins to be forgiven and death to be conquered. I mean, he knew salvation was a reality for humanity. It wasn't something that was just talked about that was going to come to pass. It actually existed through the atonement of Christ, which is a fancy way of saying it was through Jesus going to the cross to pay the price for the sins of humanity and then being risen from the dead, that by his resurrection he would overcome the grave, overcome death, and that all who would call on his name in faith would have their sins forgiven and would overcome the grave and spend eternal life with their Creator in heaven, in the kingdom. Jesus looks on that moment. He knows all of that. And he sees them for how they're looking at him. Talk about two different emotions existing in one story at one moment. It's not just two men walking on a road and Jesus teaches them. Oh, it's much richer than that. Let's keep reading. Go to verse 25. Oh, doesn't this get fun? Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." When I read that, I have to just take a moment and just let that moment just like soak, like sit in me. They don't get it. They don't fully comprehend it yet. They've got like pieces. And Jesus starts taking all the pieces and he starts, this puzzle piece goes here. This puzzle piece goes here. Oh, here's the corner piece you couldn't find. Now you know, right? Here's that one piece that looks like the other, but it's not exactly like it, but it's a shade different, but yet it fits and the other one doesn't in the puzzle. And you go, I've been looking for that forever. And Jesus says, here's that piece. And he puts all the pieces together to help them understand that he really is exactly who he said he was. He did exactly what God had promised he would do. And it truly had come to pass. Jesus was shining the light of truth into their hearts as he taught them. That truth was breaking down the walls of their fear and their doubt and their discouragement as they're listening. Jesus was refining their understanding of what had happened in Jerusalem over the past 3 days. Kind of sounds like there's a what? There's a fire burning within them. They don't quite yet get it. So let's keep reading. Go to verse 30. They had asked him, stay with us, it's getting late. Don't go on, just hang with us. And so here it is, verse 30, when he was at the table with them, because they were going to eat supper, right? This is why Christians eat potlucks together, because Jesus, I mean, he ate with others, so we got to eat with each other. Okay, sorry, I regress. So here, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Talk about anticlimactic. Really, seriously, you're leaving, you just... They asked each other, the next verse, and this is what you read, right? Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They're sitting there, and it's like the light bulb goes off. And it's because the prevenient grace of God was warming their hearts, inviting them into and empowering them to understand this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done. This is why he came. This is who you are because of Jesus and because of salvation. This grace that... Now, will you believe? I've told you the truth. And even though I'm not in front of you face to face, will you believe? Maybe that has something to do with his disappearance. You can't hold tight to me physically because I'm not meant to stay here physically with you. But even though you can't see me and you can't touch me and you can't audibly hear me speak to you and I don't get to sit down and have a meal with you, I still want to know, will you believe in me? Will you believe in what I've done for you? So look at verse 33. They got up and they returned to Jerusalem. I'm the only one that thinks that's funny. It's evening. You're eating supper. You've already traveled 7 miles. And now you're going to turn around and you're going to walk another 7 miles back to Jerusalem. And to travel at night between towns was a dangerous task to undertake. Because you don't have police out there. You don't have streetlights out there. You are vulnerable to people attacking you in the nighttime, hiding along the roads. But they're going. Like, we got to go. We just saw Jesus. We just experienced Jesus. We heard it from these other people, but I'm telling you, we saw him. We know he's alive. We got to go back. Why? Because we got to go tell these people that Jesus is alive. He actually did everything he said he was going to do. And our hearts are on fire with faith, and we've got to tell what we've seen and what we've heard. We've got to tell. We've got to talk about it. We can't hold it in within us. We can't just sit on it and wait for the opportune moment when God's going to just go, the time is now. I really can't go any lower than that. Sorry, that's all I got. But we got to go. They need to know what we know. I like that image. Because I want to ask the question, if you've experienced Jesus, should anything hinder you from talking about him? I like this story. Are you welcoming Jesus on your journey? These gentlemen didn't understand it, but they're on a journey, and Jesus is with them, and they all go together. Are you welcoming Jesus on your journey? Do you know the fire of God's truth and spirit burning within you, calling you to a life of faith, don't have time for all that faith stuff, man. I got a busy life. I can tell you that is not of God. I don't have time on my journey for all these spiritual things. My calendar's too full. I don't even understand it all. It's not the point, right? They didn't understand it. But what does Jesus do? He comes alongside. He says, let me walk with you. Let me talk with you. Let me teach you what you don't know. Let me spend some time with you because I know that you're hurting and you don't understand. And you want to, but you're just confused. He said, well, let me walk with you for a while. How long would it take you to walk 7 miles? That would take me a while. He said, but you're a runner, man. You just go run the thing. Nah, just walk it. It takes you a while, doesn't it, right? 7. What a conversation. Well, hours of talking. And then sitting there with him. And they're like, dude, don't go nowhere. They probably didn't call him dude. That'd be weird. But don't go anywhere. Just hang with us, right? It's getting late. You don't want to go keep traveling. Because Jesus acted like, and the story says, he acted like he was going to keep on going. Like, no, don't do that. Why? They know how dangerous that is. They know it's getting late. No, just hunker down here. Let's get some food. We invited you. You just hang with us. Let's have dinner together. We'll chit-chat, da-da-da. Hospitality was a big part of their culture, right? And so when they invite him to come, they are now responsible for feeding their guests and entertaining and just making conversation with their guests. And what I love in this story is that Jesus flips the expectation. Because Jesus then, instead of letting them be the one to lead the dinner, to take the bread and to bless it and to give it out, he flips it and he takes the bread and he does it himself. That would have been reversal, and those guys would have caught that. No, this is what we do. You're our guest. He's like, yeah, but you belong to me. And he breaks bread. And he's not having communion with them. They're just having, like, supper. But when he does that action with them, they get it. It's Jesus. He's alive. And weren't our hearts on fire when he was teaching us and he was helping us to fit all the pieces together? This is tremendous. Whoa. We got to do something with this. They listened. Listen's important. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said that, look, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to be with them and we'll have dinner with them and they will have dinner with me. Now, it's not literally about dinner, okay? It's come and we'll be together. I want to walk with you and I want to talk with you. Will you listen? Will you listen to what I have to say more than you listen to the voices in your own head? Let that sit for a moment. Will you listen to how much I love you? Will you invite me to be a part of your daily journey? Well, I know he's a part of my day. Like, I believe in Jesus. He's with me every day. Amen. Do you know how it changes your perspective when you extend an invitation? Say, Lord, I know you're with me, but I just want to invite you to be with me. Not because it'll make it true, because it's already true, but because I want you to know that I value your presence. And I need you. I want to learn from you today. I want you to set my heart on fire with your spirit that I may know in everything that you are exactly all that I need in every moment of my day. Because honestly, God, there's some moments in my day where I'm wondering if I got enough to just get through the next 30 minutes. I don't know if my heart can heal from what somebody just said to me or the way somebody treated me, the way they broke my trust. I don't know. I just said something and I know I can't ever take that back. You ever done that? You go, man, if I could turn back time now. Because I can't ever get those words back. I can't ever get that attitude back. Ooh, woo. I can't ever get my body language that I showed when I was frustrated, when somebody was just pouring out the heart and I felt, I don't have time for this. I got too much going on. And my body language said, talk to the hand. And here I thought I was present because my body was here. But my body language said, I'm here, but I really don't care. Lord God, guard and guide my what? My words, my heart, my attitude, and my thoughts. Because they influence my actions. And I want my body and my words and my heart and my attitude and my thoughts and everything about me to help people know that Jesus is in this space when I stand in it. Because I've invited him to go with me everywhere that I'm going. And I trust that if I invite, he will come along. Because said, I'm with you always to the end of the age. You don't have to worry. I'll be there. But like a good father, I've got two kids. And I love hearing that they're glad that I'm with them. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you get that. I love hearing that they're glad that I'm with them. And sometimes they don't say it. Sometimes it's just a lean in and give you a hug. And that says, I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came to my game. I'm glad that you were at this. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you took 5 minutes to just stop what you were doing and sit down and just pay attention to me. You're amazed. A child can understand in 5 minutes that you love them. In 30 seconds, they can hear, I love you. When you just stop and say, I'm with you. You just stop what you're doing and just be. Just be in the present. Just be present, right? And then you keep doing what you got to do. But if they know that you love them and that you like being with them, you'd be amazed at how far that goes. Like I have all the answers in parenting. No. But I know it's been true for me. Growing up and with my own kids, and I've seen it with others, and I see it in Jesus, and I see it with him and those disciples on that road to Emmaus. Are you responding to Jesus without delay? When he says, walk with me, will you walk? When he says, just sit down and stop, will you just sit down and stop? When he says, talk to this person, will you talk to that person? When he leads you to go to church on Sunday morning, I always feel like I'm preaching to the choir when I do that, because you're here, whether here on site or online, right? I go, will you go? But just the idea, will you just stop and sit down and pray? When you just feel him inviting you to pray. Are you responding to Jesus without delay? And finally, are you willing to go and talk about your faith burning within you? Are you willing to go and tell, to go and talk? Are you willing to just tell the story? Maybe by just loving somebody that's broken. Because that's exactly what the cross tells us. In our brokenness, God so loved you that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but be made whole, shall be healed, shall be saved. Love is a powerful thing. It leads us to go. Where's your love leading you? In the name of Jesus. Follow the fire of faith within you. And watch what God does through you and in you.